to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, we'll be reading verses 14 and 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The title of my sermon tonight is The Importance of Being Part of the Church. The Importance of Being Part of the Church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says this, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to be in your house tonight, to be able to hear your word be preached. Lord, I pray, God, that you would remove any distraction that comes in this building tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the preaching of your word tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that you give me the right words to say. Lord, help me not say anything foolish, Father. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll remove me from behind this pulpit and that you would come here and meet with us tonight and be the one to speak to us tonight. I pray all this in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I would like to share three important truths with you tonight on the importance of being part of the New Testament local church. And that is my title for tonight's sermon, like I told you guys, the importance of being part of the church. Throughout all the United States of America, you see churches closing by the thousands. I was reading in an article the other day about a thousand churches close every year. Now, listen to me, folks. No wonder America is the way it is. Okay? No wonder. We have 1,000 churches closing every day. You say, well, what's wrong with America, Brother Carlos? America is falling apart. And not just America, but the whole world. And that's because the church is the pillar of truth. Now, before I keep going with that, I'm going to keep on reading what I have here on my notes here. It's completely falling apart. Even non-believers know, okay, they know that our country is rotting little by little. Non-believers know that. Non-believers see that this world is going to hell, that it's getting destroyed. So much wickedness. If non-believers can see that, why we can see that as well. Even people that don't believe in God, in Christ, they see, man, this world, it's getting messed up. And it is. Little by little, it's rotting. It's rotting. And it's because our society has forgotten the importance of being part of the church. Here in the United States, people, attendance in church, it's going down. Why is that? Like I said, this society, okay, this generation has forgotten the importance of being part of the church. Okay? Let's go ahead and answer this question for tonight. I want you to ask this question for yourself, okay? Why is it important for me to be part of the church? Okay? Why is it important for me to be part of the church? Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says this. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is," now this is very important, folks, listen, "which is the truth of the living God, the what? The pillar and ground of the truth." Okay? We read here, the church belongs to the living what, folks? Somebody say it. The living God. That's a powerful word. Before God, the who? The living God. Not the little God, not the small God, but to who? The living God. Okay? It belongs to the living God. Let's go ahead and look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, real quick. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. We will be going to different to a lot of verses tonight. Just be aware of that. Ephesians 5, 25. The Bible says this, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Let me say that again. Even as Christ also loved the church, Christ loved who? The church, okay? And then he says, and he gave himself for it. Christ gave himself for the church. Don't you think church is pretty important if Christ has given himself to the church? Church is important, folks. And it's sad, even Christians, okay? Even Christians have forgotten the importance of church, right? You come one Sunday, then you don't come the other Sunday, and then you come late one Sunday, and then you come early one Sunday, and then you skip church the next Sunday, and then you don't come again, and then you're up and down and up and down. No wonder there's so many family problems or so many personal problems in your life. You have forgotten the pillar of truth, which is the church. A lot of people like to say, oh, it's man-made. Yes, the building is, okay? The building is man-made. Of course it's man-made. Men made the building, okay? But God established the church. The church is important to God, okay? Let's go ahead and go back to 1 Timothy now. 1 Timothy, right where we were at. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Let's keep on reading there. He says, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the truth of the living God. Okay? Don't you think, like I said in Ephesians, if Christ loved the church, we should love it as well. Not only did he love the church, like we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, but he gave himself for the church. He died for the church. Okay? Let's go ahead and finish verse 15. I know I've read it several times, but I'm going to read it one more time. He says, which is the church of the living God. Now, after the comma, pay attention. That's very important. Read that. The pillar, okay? The pillar and ground of the truth. I remember back in California, I was working security at a computer chip company over there in Fremont. And I had this one supervisor. He was an atheist, and he did not believe in God. And it's funny because he said something crazy. He was strong. He loved politics. He absolutely loved politics. And one time, I loved talking to the guy. He was extremely smart. I love talking to smart people. I'm not a very smart guy, okay? I'm gonna be honest. But that's why I love talking to smart people, because I like picking their brain. Because I just pick their brain and they start saying a bunch of facts. All this stuff I didn't know. I kind of do that with Mason at work. When it comes to World War II stuff, I love World War II, okay? I pick Mason's brain at work, and he just starts saying all this stuff that I've never heard about in World War II. I'll spend time watching YouTube videos, reading history books on World War II, and then, like I said, I like to pick Mason's brain when we're at work. And I did the same thing with this guy. His name was Justin. Remember, he was an atheist. He was into politics. I remember we were in the office one time. He was there working the security cameras. And I asked him, hey, Justin, why do you think our country, and this happened right before COVID, okay? I told him, why do you think our country is just messed up right now? Why do you think it's just toppling over? He said, easy. It's because people have forgotten about church. He said, they've forgotten about church. They've pushed church aside. And this guy, you guys heard me, right? He was an atheist. And this atheist was saying facts. He said, they have pushed away, America has pushed away the church. America was built off, its foundation is from the Word of God. It's from the Bible. And America has pushed away the church. From an atheist. Folks, doesn't that tell you something? The church is important. It's important for you to be here on Sundays. Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings. Ever since I got saved, every job I apply to, I always tell them, I can't work Sundays. I cannot work Sundays at all. Sundays are very important for me. And sometimes they like to, they like to scare you and say, oh, then we won't be able to hire you. And I say, okay, then don't hire me. I'm not going to work on Sunday. I'm going to come to church on Sundays. I want to serve on Sundays. Okay? Sundays are very important to me. Okay? If you can come on Wednesdays, I understand a lot of us work throughout the week. Okay? And sometimes you can't make it to the Wednesday service. I understand. But if you can make it, come to the Wednesday night service. Church, it's important to be part of the church, okay? Don't you think, like I said, that it represents a pillar. The church represents a pillar. And don't you think you should have that pillar of truth in your own life? Okay? That's why we come to church. Now, are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. You're still going to make mistakes. Okay? But that's why you come to church. The preacher's going to preach from the Word of God, and it's going to help you. It's going to help you grow. Okay? But if you stop coming to church, okay, you remove that pillar, the pillar of truth, which is what? The church. If you remove that from your life, what? You're going to fall. You're going to fall. And that's what America has already done. They're removing this pillar that once used to hold us, okay? It used to hold us up. That's why we're a blessed country. Well, we were. We're slowly losing it, okay? But that's why we are a superpower. We were probably, I think, one of the richest countries in the world. Slowly, we're losing it. Because this country has decided to what? They decided to remove this pillar of truth, which is what? The Word of God, okay? And when you remove that pillar that's holding them up, that foundation, what's going to happen? It's going to fall, okay? If that happens to a country, don't you think that can happen to a life? Don't you think it could happen to your life as well? If you stop coming to church, okay, reading your Bible, you're going to make really dumb mistakes. It's just how it is, folks, all the time. I remember I was talking to a friend of mine from my home church, and he's an older guy now. He's got a family, and he told me, man, Carlos, I remember coming to Sparky's, the Warner Clubs, and then moving to with the junior hires, and then moving to the high school, the youth group. And then after that, I just stopped coming to church. And then I got married, I got divorced, and then I got married again, I got divorced. Then he got married again, and he finally came back to church. And now he's serving in church. He is happy in church. Because he decided, you know what, I'm going to bring that pillar back into my life. Let's go ahead and jump into point number two for tonight. The importance of coming to church is to help you grow spiritually. Help you grow spiritually. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Verse 24 and 25. The Bible says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, listen, this is very important, okay? Verse 25, very important. Listen up to this. If you have your Bible, go ahead and follow along, please. He says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Let's look at the beginning of verse 25 again, okay? That's very important. He says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. That word forsaking means to forget, okay? To abandon. To not forget, okay? To not forsake the assembling. Assembling means to get together, okay? Now, let's put the pieces together, okay? Right now, are we assembled together? Yes, we are, okay? This is what God wants for us, okay? This right here that you guys see right now, okay? This is what God wants. God does not want, and there's nothing wrong with what I'm about to say, but God does not want you at home, okay? Sitting on your couch or on your bed watching church from your phone. Okay, that's good when, you know, I like to watch sermons throughout the week. I just love hearing preaching. And I learn from other men of God on how to preach. I love hearing preach. I listen to a preach almost every day. That's fine. That's what the internet's for, to help us grow. But if you, on Wednesdays, and especially on Sundays, you're like, nah, I don't want to go to church. I'm just going to stay home and I'm going to watch church from my house in my pajamas, with my Coke and my cheese puffs. God doesn't want that, folks. God wants us to assemble what? Together. He says, don't forsake it. Don't forget it. Forsake means forget or abandon. Don't forget the assembling, okay? The getting together. It's important for you, okay? It's going to help you. When you come, you're going to see other believers, okay? You're going to see you teenagers. You're going to see other teenagers, okay? Don't forget the assembling. Let's go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 16. Like I said, we're going to be all over the place tonight. James chapter 5, verse 16. Another important verse right here. Like we just read in Hebrews, we are encouraged to not forsake, to not forget the assembling of ourselves, okay? That's what we just read in Hebrews, okay? Now let's go into James chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible says this. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, let's look at the beginning of verse 16. This is very important. He says, confess your faults. Okay, confess your faults. Now, let me stop there. Confess your faults. It says one to another. Not to the how the Catholics do it, to the Pope. Okay, I've never been to a Catholic church, but I've seen it in movies that the priest, he's like in the little room and people are telling him their sins. No, not like that, folks. If you guys ever run to a Catholic, you know, just show them this verse, okay? Verse 16, he says, confess your faults to who? One to another. One to another. Folks, there's nothing wrong in going to another brother in Christ and telling him, you know what, brother? I'm struggling in this area in my life. You know what, brother? My wife and I, we're having marriage problems. I need you to pray for us or give us some advice, okay? That's why God wants us together. That's why God created churches and so they could assemble together. He says, confess your faults one to another. It's important to do that. If you come up to me and you're telling me that you're struggling, I'm not going to judge you. Why would I do that? I think we've all been there before. Everyone has been there before. Everyone has had problems in their lives. Or if you're married, everyone has had problems in their marriage. That's normal. That's part of life. But that's when you go to another brother in Christ and you confess. He said, confess your faults one to another, okay? Pray one for another. It's important, folks. That's very important, okay? Let me see here. Let's go ahead and go to point number three for tonight. I'm running out of time. Point number three is to serve and preach the gospel. To serve and preach the gospel. So let's remember the question. What was the question in the beginning of the sermon? It was, why is it important for me, okay? Why is it important for you to be part of the church? Number one, we learned that is the pillar of truth. It's going to be an important pillar in your life. Number two, I said it's going to help you grow spiritually. And now we're on number three. Like I said, to serve and preach the gospel. You're not going to be able to serve and you're not going to be able to preach the gospel if you're not part of a church. Now, before I go on there, okay, there's always a smarty pants in the church all the time. Oh, I can serve without going to church. Or I could preach the gospel without going to church. It's easy to say it, but they don't really do it. Okay, they just say that to argue nonsense. But that's why the church was made, folks, to serve, to give us the opportunity to serve God. And of course, to preach the gospel, which is extremely important in a church. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. I'm almost done. This is our last point for tonight. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 15. 16 verses 14 through 15. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and it motivates me to keep on preaching the gospel. The Bible says this, Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 15. He says, afterward he appeared unto the 11, and they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Verse 15 is very important. Jesus is speaking here. He says this, and he said unto them, Jesus said unto the disciples, he said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This is a very important commandment that every Christian, every one of you guys, every adult, every kid, every teenager should take to heart, which is preaching the gospel to every creature. You know, and even some of you that come faithfully to church, I'm not targeting anybody in any specific way. I don't know who comes soul winning on Tuesdays, okay? Or throughout the week. I don't know who does what throughout the week here. But even church members that come to church faithfully don't go out soul winning anymore. It's dying down. They don't go out to go preach the gospel, which is very important. Now, if you already come to church faithfully, imagine if you didn't come to church faithfully. You wouldn't be doing anything at all. That's why it's important to be part of the church. When you're part of the church, you will be motivated, okay? You will be more spiritual. It's going to help you. You're going to see other people doing things. You're going to be like, you know what? I want to help out. I want to do something for God as well. Some of you here tonight, God has spoken to you about taking church a little bit more serious after I just what told you. And I hope God really spoke to your heart tonight. Like I've said before, I never try to target anyone or anything. I've been planning to preach this. I've had this sermon. I didn't have it ready, but I had it in my list already about a month ago already. Okay? Now, it's important to go preach the gospel. And if you don't take church serious, it's time you start taking church serious now. Doesn't matter who you are, an adult, a kid, or a teenager. You need to start serving more and go out soul winning more. There's a lot of opportunity, folks. A lot of opportunity. I know, Mr. Dahlman, do you guys still go out soul winning on Tuesdays? Yes, we do. Okay, there you go. There's one opportunity. On Saturday mornings, I go out and I visit the bus kids. Okay? There's another serving opportunity right there. The bus ministry. Brother Mark Hall drives the bus on Sunday mornings. And I go out and I ride the bus. Quentin as well. We wouldn't mind having a few more helpers. Okay? There's a serving opportunity right there for some of you guys. Okay? Like I said, Saturday mornings. I go out. I visit the kids. When I have an opportunity to give somebody the gospel, I give them the gospel. It's important to preach the gospel. At work, like I told you guys, I'm working security at Amazon. I gave the gospel to all my coworkers. I gave it to all of them. I spoke to Mason too. I even gave the gospel to the ones that I thought they wouldn't get saved, and they ended up getting saved. Why? Because the gospel has power, folks. It has power. It's sad. The Jehovah Witnesses are out there more than us. And they're preaching false doctrine. They're sending people straight to hell. It's sad that you have the truth, that I have the truth, and we don't go out and preach the gospel. That's sad, folks. That's sad. There's plenty of opportunity to preach the gospel. Okay? Like I said, Tuesdays, on Saturdays. And it doesn't matter what age you are. One day you're going to be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to ask you what you've done for him. And all you guys, it's up to you. It's not up to me. It's up to you to make that decision. You know what? I need to go out. I need to do something for God. Maybe you need to give the gospel to your coworkers. You've been working with your coworkers for years and you've never given them the gospel. I remember when I was working security back in California. Another story from California. I worked with this lady. She was an ABM. ABMs are janitors. And I would escort her through the high end, the CEOs, all their offices. Since I was security there, I would escort her there to all the offices and she would take out the trash. I did that with her for about a year. I thought of giving her the gospel, but I would tell myself she would never get saved. She was those type of ladies. She was always talking trash about all the other coworkers. And she was an old Hispanic lady, always saying a bunch of stuff, running her mouth. I said, man, she would never get saved. She would never get saved. And I remember the week before COVID hit, before they would take us all out of college and I had to come back to Arizona, an opportunity opened up. I don't know how it happened. But I ended up giving her the gospel. I said, she was a Catholic. I asked her, has anyone showed you the Bible way to heaven? And folks, if you don't know the Bible way to heaven, I don't know why you don't know, and especially if you've been here for years. I don't understand how a Christian doesn't know how to explain the Bible way to heaven. And if you don't, you can come up to me and I'll show you. I've taught our teenagers, okay, how to give the Bible way to heaven. But I asked the janitor lady if she knows if she's going to go to heaven the day she dies. She said, no, no one has ever spoke to me about that. I told her about Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of our sin, we come short of God's glory. God's up here, our sin's right here. We come short of the glory of God. And then I gave her, and I asked you, have you sinned before? She said, yes, I've sinned before. I said, because of your sin, you come short of the glory of God. I told her Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Because of your sin, you need to go to hell. And then I told her the second part of the verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes. What's that gift? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the gift right there. For God so loved the world. He gave. That's the gift. He gave his only begotten son. Remember Romans 6:23? But the gift of God is eternal life. That's the gift right there. And then you end it with Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The lady, she was shaking. I don't know. I got scared. I was like, is she going to have a seizure or something? She started shaking. And then she started crying. And she said, nobody has ever told me about this. Nobody has ever told me that I was going to go straight to hell. No one ever told me how to get to heaven. She was crying. And in my heart, I was happy. I had joy. But in my heart, I felt like Peter. I felt like I had betrayed Jesus. Because it took me a whole year to share the gospel with this lady that I was escorting Monday through Friday through offices every night. And I never gave her the gospel until that last week before I was going to go back to Arizona. And that was on me. Folks, how many people are going to go to hell all because you didn't give them the gospel? You had the truth, but you never gave them the gospel. Church is important. Don't ever let the internet, social media tell you, oh, church is, that's old stuff. No, it's not. God died for the church, not for the internet. Jesus Christ, he gave himself for it. Not Facebook, not Instagram, for the church. Same thing for the bus ministry. That's the purpose of the bus ministry. We go pick up those kids, we bring them to church, slowly we get to the parents. There's this one young lady on our bus route, her name's Allison. I was able to give the gospel to her father. I gave him the gospel, he got saved. I invited him to church, he came to church last Sunday. Not this past Sunday, but the other Sunday. He came to church. He brought his mom with him. I went to visit him this past Saturday. He wasn't home, but I'm going to go visit him again. There is work to be done. There is work to be done here in this city. And God has placed our church to do that work. Let's go ahead and bow our heads, close our eyes, and we'll finish with a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father,